We might as well start it. It's only going to get better from here.
Awesome. I'm sure.
We'll give it just a couple more minutes and see if anybody else shows up. But I'm really happy to see you here today. Welcome to membership class. Thanks for your interest in learning more about Newcastle and our mission and our purpose. And this is a great class to, Kevin does a great job of teaching it and helping to, we want to be very transparent as a church and answer any questions you have. And so he will probably next week make a list of what questions you have and make sure that he gets those answered over the course of the next 8 weeks. If you go to our website, we have a list of the most asked questions in this class. And so it's very informative for you to look through if you want to. I think we'll just go ahead and get started. It's probably late enough. Well, before we start looking through this pack and this stuff, I want to do some introductions and get to meet everybody. But maybe before we do that, would you just bow with me and I'll have a word of prayer before we go. Father, we're thankful today to be here at Newcastle, to have the opportunity to hear your word preached. We're thankful for Tyson's message in Ephesians today and particularly regarding the topic of unity in the church and how even though there's a cost, it's certainly worth it. And so bless Tyson for his preparation today. And we do pray for Pastor Kevin and Pastor Scott, and along with the rest of the group that's making their way to San Francisco, despite getting hung up in Dallas last night. We just pray that you would encourage them, give them what little rest maybe they can get yet before they can grab a flight to San Francisco. And we pray that you would go before them there, prepare the road ahead of them. We pray for great success for their short-term mission trip. We do thank you for this group here today that's looking forward to learning more about Newcastle over the course of the next few weeks and considering whether membership here is right for them. We pray that you would give them discernment, give them wisdom as they pray through this process and what it looks like. And we just thank you most of all that we have the gift of salvation through the shed blood of Jesus. It's the core of the reason that we fellowship and the reason that we worship. And so we just pray that you would bless our time together, bless each one here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'd like to just start out the class by making some introductions. I'll go ahead and start. I don't know if my name tag's on backwards, so it's a little hard. But my name is Chad Lehman. And my wife, Stacy, and I are from Eureka. We have four daughters. Our oldest two are Tess and Darby are 22 and 20. And our youngest two are Sophie and Sierra. They are 18 and 17. We have been here at Newcastle since, I think, 2004. And I became an elder, I believe, in 2015, so maybe 7 years ago. It's a little bit of a drive for us. I farm east of Eureka, about 4 or 5 miles. And so it's a bit of a drive for us, but we've certainly found this to be a great place to attend church, to raise our family, and are just so blessed by it. So that's a little bit about me. I think we'll just go around the room now, and if maybe we can start with you, and let's go with name, where you're from, what brings you to Newcastle, how you heard of Newcastle, do you have a connection here, and we'll go from there. Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
We're doing good. Let me give you these.
Thank you.
Welcome to class.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll start now, and I'm going to write down the names as we go here too. So, name, where you're from, What your connection is to Newcastle, what brings you here?
My name is Todd Hutchins. I'm from Metamora, my wife Janice and I. We have three children, 35, 33, and 22, I believe.
Yes.
Two boys and a mother. I'm retired from CAD. I babysit one of my grandsons 3 days a week. I found out in Newcastle, a friend of my wife's goes to a women's Bible study here.
Oh, sure.
We found out through that.
Oh, good.
We were at our other church for a long time, and there's some changes that went through, and just decided that it was time to look elsewhere and be useful somewhere else, hopefully.
Super.
And that's what brings us here.
Glad to have you. What was your name again?
Janice.
Janice. Okay. Got it. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Dan, and this is Alyssa Burmeister. We're from Morton. And we went through kind of a similar situation where there were changes in our church. So through our friends Scott and Christy O'Neill, they introduced us to Newcastle, and we've been coming for maybe 2 months.
Very good. Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
So for Tom and Bev Weed, we've known about Newcastle for decades, but we attended Bethany Baptist, and so during the pandemic, you know, driving 35 miles to church, 35 minutes to church, seemed a little to be less attractive than it had been for a long time. And it was easy to go there on a Sunday, but then trying to participate during the week was not as easy. So we've, of course, we've known Kevin for many years.
And yep.
I was on the board when Kevin was in a seminary and came back to be at Bethany for a while. And so we just love Kevin and Jody. And so you might as well go to places 12 minutes from
now. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're really glad to have you.
Tom and Bev Lee.
Bev, BV, yep.
Yeah,
B-V. Okay.
Beverly, yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Nobody gets that, so yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I sat by you at Newcomers.
Yep. So I'm Brandon Cosby. My wife Sarah is in the women's class right now, the women's study. We're from Morton. My wife grew up there. I grew up in Indianapolis. We met at Lincoln Christian College in Lincoln. I come out of a background of doing youth ministry and then going to the secular workforce, where I've been for 16 years with one company now. My wife mostly stays at home with the kids, but does some legal secretary work now too. We're coming out of just some trauma related to the church, some difficult things that we've walked through this past year. And some neighbors of ours who loved us well during that period, Kevin and Don Smith, invited us to come. And then the pastors at the church where we were commended Newcastle to us as well as a place to go for some healing. And so we're leaving well, but just going through a period of want to be in a place and settled, which is why my wife's not here today. She just said, I'm not ready for membership.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants more time to just kind of sit and be cared for.
That's just fine. We never rush
it. I'm more curious. So.
And you sort of hear a recurring theme of leaving a church. And that's one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later today is how to leave a church well and what that looks like. And so appreciate your transparency there. And welcome to membership class. You were a little bit late. I told him I have a substitute teacher today, and I'm he. And so this is the first class of the 8-week section here. And so it's a little bit of introduction, getting to know each other. I'll go through the packet and so forth. But right now we're just meeting each other. So can you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, Jeff and Barbara Hill. We live in Goodfield. We just moved there the end of June. And we were going to Bethany Community in Washington, but with the price of gas and everything, this was a better fit.
Sure.
And Barbara's been in a life group with Liz.
Allen.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
And I work at District 52 in Washington as a custodian.
Okay.
And she's a stay-at-home mom. And we met at WPEO Radio in East Peoria. We were both working there.
Okay.
So.
Very good. Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
You going to introduce your son?
Oh, yeah. This is Joshua. Sorry.
Okay.
He's special needs, and
yep.
He has a lot of medical issues, so okay. We usually keep him with us when...
You bet. I didn't want to skip over him.
Yeah.
Dan kind of looked at me like, wait a second, somebody else before me.
And he's 18.
Okay.
He's born with a heart defect and has had 18 surgeries.
Oof.
So he's our miracle.
Yep. Well, we're glad to have
and
you.
And we have three other kids, 20-year-old, he's 18, 16, and 9.
Okay.
So we were late because she was dropping off the 9-year-old at Sunday school.
There's no penalty for being late.
It's okay.
I should have mentioned we brought 4 kids with us, too.
Okay.
16, 13, 11, and 8.
Super. All right. Last but not least.
Dan and Wendy Basham. We've been visiting for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Sat through the new members class and then got into travel softball and travel laziness. And so we missed some of the last... new members, so we're back for the second time because we're confident we want to join, so we're just doing our due diligence there. We've got 2 kids, 11 and 15.
Yep.
And we were at Morton First Baptist for over 20 years, 22, 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of fell out of that during COVID. Mm-hmm. Started doing the online and just got further and further away and thought, why don't we try this? We got some very good friends that we trust a lot, Mike and Carmen Rassi.
Yep.
And Bethany and Eric Scroggs that are members here. So
yeah.
That's what we started doing.
They used to be neighbors with Mike and Carmen.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Bethany and Eric, yeah.
Oh, and both. Okay.
Yeah, we all.
Very good.
All the kids are little.
Yeah.
And then they left us.
Yep. Well, you guys are familiar faces around here, and we're glad to see you taking this step. And
yeah. Thank you.
Welcome you. I remember the travel softball days, and it was awful fun going through it. It's awful nice to be done
yeah.
with it now. So,
and we coached too, so
that's
that, was even
that adds to it, doesn't it? Okay. Well, we'll dig in a little bit, and like I said, I think I can go whichever way I want with this. So, if you want to open your folders, I'm going to go through this briefly and just point out what's here so you know a little bit about it, give you an overview of the packet. But if you look on the left hand side, the first thing is that there's a tithing envelope there, my offering, and it's kind of strange to start off with talking about that, but we do, just for your own information, we have a couple different ways of giving here. You can either give with cash or check with an envelope. If you ask the church office for personalized envelopes, they will give you 52 of them, and you can tithe each week if that's your choice. Most people like to do it online. You can set it up as a recurring or however you want to do it. So most people like the online giving. So we try to make that as easy as we can for whatever you prefer. Next, you see a membership application, and these are just a way for leadership to get to know you at a pretty high level. You can see you've got your names and your family members, and then we ask about your church backgrounds. We really want to focus on taking membership seriously here. And we don't want it to just be a drive-by type of attendance at church. We really value membership. And the only way that we can value that is to invest time in each other and know each other. And so we want to know your church background. Sometimes it's great. You moved, your job changed, and you're just coming to the area and you're looking for a church. And you You're leaving your other church well. Oftentimes, once you decide to make Newcastle your church and become a member here, one of the pastors will draft a letter to your previous pastor or elders and let them know, so-and-so is interested in becoming a member at Newcastle. We just want to let you know we'll take over their spiritual care. We'll pray for them. Thank you for what time you've invested in them in the past. And so this just tells us a little bit about your background. Then we want to know your spiritual background. First and foremost, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? That is obviously of the greatest importance to us, is have you accepted Christ as your Savior? It all starts from there. And then we want to know what your testimony is. Some people don't remember exactly when that moment was they accepted Christ. For some it was kind of gradual, for some it's a very memorable experience. There's no right or wrong to it. We just want to know under what circumstances you came to Christ and what that looked like. Some people say, my mom led me in prayer when I was 4 years old. But over time, that growth and sanctification process that we go through following Christ is evident. Then we ask, what biblical assurance do you have of your salvation? If you say, well, I live a good life, and so that makes me good enough, that's going to be a pretty serious red flag for us. Acts 4:12 teaches us that there is one name under heaven whereby we can be saved, and that's Jesus. So it's His grace alone that saves us. And then we ask about baptism. Have you been baptized? Some people have been baptized as infants. That's not what we consider a believer's baptism. That is, and so we gently will press into that if that's the case and ask you, okay, you were baptized, you've made a profession of faith, but was it a believer's baptism? Were you old enough to have a testimony of following Jesus before you were baptized? And so we will press into that. And we've had some wonderful examples I'm thinking of one right now. There's a woman in our church who was baptized maybe when she was junior high or high school. But after she was married and had come to Newcastle for some years, she became convicted that, I don't know that it was a believer's baptism that I went through. It was more or less just a process that I went through. And so she asked to be baptized again. And it was, I've heard a number of people in our church talk about what a testimony that was of humility and just recognizing the fact that, hey, I want to show the public, I want to show the church what believer's baptism looks like. And so we've had some great testimonies of that. We've also had some older people who've never been baptized and are not physically capable of being immersed. And so in a situation like that, we're certainly happy to sprinkle them. We've had some who would rather not be baptized in front of the church, although we encourage it. We've had some get baptized with their small groups, just in a setting that's a little more comfortable for them. Relationship to Newcastle Bible Church, what caused you to come to Newcastle? How long have you attended? We'll talk a little bit about reading and understanding the Constitution and bylaws. And then we want to know, is there anything you've learned about us that you can't support or that you can't agree with? Whether you are in first service or whether you're going to second service, you'll hear Pastor Tyson talk a little bit today about different levels of doctrine and what hills we die on. And so what is tier one doctrine? What is tier two? What is some of that? And so is there anything about Newcastle, our teaching, our bylaws, our constitution that you cannot support? We just want to know what it is. It might be something that's certainly not worth separating over, but we would ask as leadership that if you teach, that you teach what we believe here and not be divisive in that teaching. And then we talk about what spiritual gifts you have. what ways do you see yourself serving? We don't want to just a consumer mentality. We want, if you come to Newcastle, we want to see you get involved, and we want to see you bless others with your spiritual gifts. And so, has anybody taken the spiritual gifts class that Scott and Teresa Cruzy teach yet?
We took it at a previous church.
Okay.
Years ago.
Okay. Okay. That, I think that will be part of this process, is that you will have a couple weeks of that training and helping you discern what your spiritual gifts are. And so that's oftentimes real helpful for people to figure out where they may fit in. So if you do finish this class and decide to pursue membership here, you'll fill this out. The elders will get a copy of it. And then what we'll do is we'll schedule what we call an elder interview with you. And this is a very low pressure interview. It's usually two of us during the Sunday school hour that we'll meet with either individually or with your wife or husband, and just go through this application, hear your testimony, help discern what spiritual gifts you may have. Are you a gifted teacher? Are you a gifted gifted with mowing or taking care of maintenance projects? Just some of those things, where your heart is there. And so that elder interview will take place, and then upon finishing that and assuming that all goes as it usually does, then we will have a member reception day where you're invited to come and stand in front of the church, pictures up on the wall, and you're introduced to the church as a new member. So any questions about the application or elder interview or any of that I wasn't very clear on?
I have a question. So when you become members, is it just the adults, or do your kids become members too?
Just the adults.
Okay.
So if Dan and Wendy decide to pursue membership, it will just be Dan and Wendy.
Okay.
And then your kids, as they grow up, and if they decide that they want to be a part of the church, like my oldest daughter Tess is a member at Newcastle.
How old is she?
Tess is almost 23. Okay. She's probably been a member for a year.
What age do kids tend to become members here?
It's a good question. I would say that generally speaking, they're out of high school and beginning to find their way as adults before they pursue membership here. Not that it couldn't happen earlier. It could happen. But I guess in my experience here, it's usually as kids get out of high school, maybe they're going to college, that they might pursue membership here if this is where they want to stay geographically and it makes sense for them. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else about... It's a great question about what age. There's no set. It always works this way. You know, it's always different, and people are different. So, okay. A little bit about our leadership structure here, and I'm going to write this down so it's in front of you. We have three full-time pastors right now. If you've attended here for any time, you know we've been searching for a care and discipleship pastor since Pastor Sean transitioned to a different career. So we have three full-time pastors who are also elders. Along with that, we have seven other lay elders. And so Denny Schlappe, who just recently retired, was a associate pastor here for many years, was a lay elder after he retired, and then a month or two ago he decided to retire completely from eldership. But each of the elders are part of a leadership team, and so I think we have six leadership teams, which would be which would have oversight of various ministries here. So we have a worship team. And Pastor Tyson chairs the worship team. And This team oversees everything that happens on a Sunday morning. Who is volunteering in music, and how are we arranging the chairs, and everything about Sunday morning is encompassed in the worship team. This also would include Connie Johnson, who's our communications director. So all the communications that go out throughout the week, the emails you get, the prayer lists you get, all come through the oversight of the worship team. We used to have a worship team and a communications team, and then we decided to consolidate them and just make it one. So the worship team, so Pastor Kevin's on the worship team, and I'm not going to remember everybody that's on it, but there might be six different people on the worship team, and most of these teams meet at least once a month on their own. Then we have the student ministry team. And this would be Pastor Scott that has oversight of this, as you can imagine, our youth pastor. Student ministry, we used to have student ministry and children's ministry team. And Sharon Carey would have focused more on the children's ministry. But we consolidated those two teams into just student ministry. And this is our greatest, this team oversees our greatest evangelistic ministry. I mean, the kids ministry here is just very robust between Vacation Bible School. We just came off of 2 weeks of those. We have this hour where everything from grade school up through college and early singles are being taught. And then obviously we have the midweek nights too for 7th through 12th grade. And I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the other events, but that team does a great job of recruiting volunteers to help Pastor Scott and come alongside him as small group leaders in student ministry. I can't tell you how blessed my daughters have been to come up through this ministry, meeting friends who love the Lord, having good examples around them, being good examples to others. A lot of times, we will see probably the greatest amount of volunteers is needed in this ministry. So, did you have a question?
Me?
Oh, I thought you raised your hand. Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Then we have the personnel team. So, I have oversight of the personnel team. It's Kevin and I and Brent Fletcher, Lisa Wilmert, who's our office manager, and Rob Hushin, who is one of our deacons. Personnel team oversees all the hiring, all the compensation packages, insurance stuff. Basically, I'm trying to think what else. We basically just, this is the only team I'm on. Our pastors serve on two each, and I think Kevin's on three maybe. One thing that will really help is when we get a care and discipleship pastor in place, which this personnel team really needs to get that job done.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
What is the difference between a pastor and an elder?
There is no difference.
Okay.
There's no difference biblically between a pastor and elder. If you look at Timothy or Titus, a pastor and elder is the same. But at Newcastle, our pastors are not lay pastors, they're staff pastors. And so the lay elders have careers outside of the church, so we're not compensated by the church. But biblically speaking, there would be no difference. It'd be the ability to, the gifting of being able to teach God's word and pray. Good question. On a personnel note, we have extended an offer to an outreach director at Goodfield. I'm really excited about this young man. He is from Racine, Wisconsin, and he seems like really good stuff. We laugh a little bit. His last name is Bergen. It's spelled B-A-E-R-G-E-N. And this past week we were talking as a personnel team, like, okay, we're ready to extend an offer to him. And I said, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. How do you pronounce this? And I said, I think this is the first time we've ever hired somebody without really realizing how you pronounce his last name. But we've never met him. He offered to come down here for a visit, but we've had a couple Zoom calls with him. And so he's excited about the job. We're excited to finally be able. Goodfield, for those of you who don't know, the Goodfield Baptist Church about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, was down to 7 members and decided to discontinue worshiping and basically disband. They donated their church to us, and along with about $150,000 of cash that they had. And they asked us to do it, whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Do whatever you want, but doing it for the glory of God. And so we have really prayed and thought through how can we, what should we do with this church? And as those of you who've been here a while know, that's been a prayer request for quite some time. So it's nice to see, I think, you know, pending him accepting the offer, which I can't imagine that he doesn't, this will be a great step for that. Let's see.
Hey, Chad.
Yep.
Is the outreach backfilling Sean, or are those two different positions?
Is the outreach team?
Sorry, when you were just talking about you were going to extend an offer to this person?
Yes.
Is that backfilling Sean's role, or are those two different roles?
It's a different role. So this will not be a pastoral role. This will be a role like what Josie Salmon has as our, like what she took over for Melanie Burge for our after school program. So this will be along the same lines as a position like that, as a director position.
Okay.
Good question. But that's a nice segue to the outreach leadership team, which Kyle Krall chairs that team. That team oversees all of our outreach ministry, from supported missionaries to sent missionaries. This team will oversee the Goodfield director, even though personnel will make the hire. But Kyle and his team will work closely with Jared and as part of the outreach team. Outreach team is very busy here at Newcastle. It's a great team. And like I say, Kyle Krall oversees that one. Then we have the care and discipleship team. And that would be what Pastor Sean had oversight of. So that's member care. That's hospital visits. That's prayer visits. That team oversees all of our adult discipleship electives. So as they look ahead to the next quarters, they will think through what would be helpful to offer our people during the Sunday school hour. The care and discipleship team oversees all of our life group ministry. So recruiting life group leaders, reaching out to folks who are not involved in a life group and seeing where a good fit would be for them. Whether it's geographically or whether it's personalities, there's a lot that goes into that. They also oversee our biblical counseling department. That is a pretty robust ministry here as well. Ben Holman, one of our elders in development, oversees our biblical counseling ministry. If you haven't heard, he is being deployed for about 7 months, leaving in August for Iraq and not getting back until January or February. So Paul Wildermuth, if you know Paul, is going to take his place as in an interim capacity over those months to oversee our biblical counseling ministry. This would be overseeing new cases, ongoing cases, advocates for these cases. And so care and discipleship is a huge has a huge responsibility, and frankly, we're operating in a bit of a handicap capacity right now by not having that pastoral position filled. Pastor Scott is graciously from student ministry, kind of helping to oversee that so that we can keep things going there. But there are certainly balls that are getting dropped just because we don't have the capacity right now to quite make that all happen. But we'll get there. We'll get there. And then stewardship team is overseen by Mike Rassi. This team oversees everything related to church grounds, maintenance, the entire campus. They also oversee what our total budget should be. So all financial decisions start from there. And then once they determine what our overall budget should be, then each of the teams are responsible for their particular budget. And so I think I've got all the teams listed there. Like I say, we used to have 8 or 9 and then we consolidated them so that we have 6 different teams now. But that's our leadership structure. We mainly communicate via a workplace management program called Basecamp. If you hear us talk about Basecamp, maybe some of you are familiar with it from your own occupation, but we basically communicate via Basecamp. We are decentralized. We're a decentralized leadership team. So in other words, each of these teams has permission to make their own decisions without bringing it to everybody else. And so that has worked out very well for a church our size to be able to give each team latitude to make their decisions. The elders meet once a month. We rotate. 1 month will be a shepherding meeting. 1 month will be a fellowship meeting. So the fellowship meeting's like a small group. Our wives come. We all get together, eat, have a devotion, and then just spend time enjoying each other. The shepherding meetings are every other month, and those we spend a lot of time in prayer. We'll usually have an agenda that we'll work through, praying for our members, doing devotions on topics that would be relevant to whatever is going on in our church or in the world. And so those typically last maybe 3 hours, certainly blessed by having an elder team that is very united. We love each other. If we weren't elders together, I think we'd all be friends. We're really blessed by that. We don't take it for granted. Okay, any questions on the leadership structure here? I should mention deacons as well. We have a group of deacons that do a lot of the groundwork here on Sundays in terms of ushering, in terms of collecting the giving, in terms of directing traffic, greeting at the door, all of that. We have a great group of deacons, and Rob Hushin oversees the deacons. But are there any questions on leadership that anybody would have that I didn't answer?
Some churches have like terms for elders.
Yeah.
Is that the thing here?
Good question. We do not have terms. We would have no issue with churches that do have terms. We just believe that an elder is if he's called to be an elder, he's called to be an elder until he's not. And so we've had elders who have served 2 or 3 years and decided that that was not their calling, and we've had elders that have served for decades. And so, no, that's a great question. Okay, what else? What do we have? Newcomers information card. If you attended a newcomer breakfast, this is what you filled out, I think, right? Okay, so you don't have to fill this out again if you've already submitted that. And then you have the Constitution and Bylaws, Newcastle Bible Church Constitution and Bylaws. Kevin will go through this over the course of the next couple weeks briefly. This is not an addendum to the New Testament by any means. This is man's fallible attempt to systematize our core beliefs. And like I said, there's different levels of of doctrine and the weight that you put on it. But this goes through that, and Kevin will walk you through that over the course of the next few weeks. And then lastly, on the left side, you have the annual report. I will tell you that we take the annual report very seriously. You can see by how thick it is and how much work goes into it that each of the leadership teams is responsible for their section of it. An annual report, you can usually find them on most churches' websites, and it's what we see as valuable to report and communicate to our people. And so we take it seriously. We put a lot of time into it. And so at your leisure, you can, if you haven't seen this, you can peruse this. And we each year we start preparing for it several months in advance. And it's a bit of a task, but this was very well done. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at it when you get a chance. All right, was that everything on the left side? I think it was. There's a bit of, for any of you who have been here for a while, you know that Newcastle started out as a one-room schoolhouse. And the name Newcastle has no spiritual significance. It's simply what this little community was called when the church was, when the schoolhouse was here. It was just called Newcastle. So that there's no spiritual significance to the name. I believe that in the 1950s, this congregation left the Mennonite denomination because of differences in thinking and theology and became an independent Bible church. We're still an independent Bible church to this day. I think there's been, in the 80-year history, I think Kevin is the fifth senior pastor. So we've been blessed with long-tenured senior pastors here, which you don't see regularly. When Stacy and I came in 2004, Pastor Summers, or as we call him, Phipp, was the senior pastor here. We love Phipp. Phipp is, it's really a blessing to see a senior pastor retire and still be able to attend the same church that he was the senior pastor of for whatever, 25 or 30 years. He continues to worship at Newcastle. He's preaching next Sunday. He has mentored dozens of young men, still does. If you've been mentored by Phipp, you're really blessed. So he was the pastor when Stace and I came. He retired, and then a man by the name of Troy Willie came from, I believe, Colorado or Idaho, and he was the senior pastor here for 3 or 4 years. And then when he and his family moved, and then in 2015, I think, is when Pastor Kevin came on board here at Newcastle. So just a little bit of the history of Newcastle Bible Church. I think there's a, I don't know if there's a building directory in this packet or not. There used to be a building directory in here. This campus has been added on to and added on to and added on to, and so it's, you almost need a directory to know where you're going. But let's talk. We've got about 10 minutes left. I'm trying to think where I want to go with this. Let's talk. I know what Kevin would do if he was here. He'd go down this shiny donut route with you. And so he likes to draw this when we talk about the purpose of Newcastle Bible Church and why we exist. And you look at our statement that says that we exist for the glory of God by reaching farther and growing deeper. He likes to talk about the four necessary means to the glory of God. And I guess before we do that, how would you describe the glory of God? How would you explain that if you were to explain it to somebody who had no idea?
meeting, right? Because we were told this.
His Holiness.
You heard this not too long ago.
Going public, I think.
Yeah.
It is a really tough thing for us to describe the glory of God. But yeah, it's talking about the brilliance of God, the weightiness of God, about going public with that brilliance and weightiness. So I've heard it described before as a mannequin in a store like Macy's or something like that, where you walk in and you see these mannequins with various jeans or shirts or whatever on them. You never notice the mannequin, though. You just notice the clothes on the mannequin. That's what you if you were to say, well, what skin color was that mannequin? You probably don't even know. You just looked at the clothes and said, you know what, I'd like a pair of jeans like that. Well, that's, I've heard it described before that's the glory of God. We're the mannequins. We're pretty much invisible. But God drapes us with his glory so that others can see. So it's kind of going public with that brilliance or that weightiness. And so if you draw this shiny donut, you say, what are the four necessary means of glorifying God? We have faith. We have love, we have witness, and I wrote it down this morning because I figured I'm going to forget one of them, truth. So when we think about all four of these, we say, okay, you have to have all four of these to glorify God. You can't get hung up on just one and say, we're just going to focus on that area. And so we like to describe truth as doctrinal soundness. So making sure that our doctrine aligns with what the Bible says is very important. Our witness is our missional faithfulness. Are we faithful in stewarding what gifts we have to tell others, to tell our communities about Christ? A couple of years ago, our theme is building up the body, and we're really focusing on building up the body, the people here. But our theme of a couple of years ago was loving our community. And we reached out to Deer Creek and Mackinac with flyers and said, what can we as Newcastle Bible Church do to love you? What do you need? And from that sprang our after-school program, because the communities responded and said, we need something for kids to do after school. You know, mom and dad are still at work or whatever, and the kids don't have anything to do. And so that's where our after school programming started. So our witness to our community. Love is relational wholeness. So I would say right now, as elders, when we brainstormed and prayed over what is our theme for the year, as we looked at this, we said, what area do we need to help our people in right now? And as you all know, coming out of COVID, there was a lot of hesitancy to come back to church. There was obviously, we found ourselves with diverse views. Everybody had a little bit different of a view on how we should respond to it. And so we said, you know what, we're a couple of years now out of that. How do we focus on building up the body? How do we work on this relational wholeness aspect and get people to where we're loving each other again, rather than looking suspiciously at each other like, oh, I wonder what they think. I wonder, you know. And so trying to get people from staying home, worshiping online, to, hey, come back to church. This is where God intended us to be, to build each other up. So that's a little bit an example of relational wholeness. And then faith is humble dependence.
These are on pages 2 and 3, if people haven't looked
at them. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I could have cheated rather than doing this morning. Thanks for that. So, humble dependence. This is just recognizing the fact that if you want to be a member at Newcastle, You're going to have to grow in your dependence on God. And we believe the greatest expression of that is through prayer. If we are just trying to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap, by our bootstraps all the time and slugging it out ourselves, we're going to fail. And so we really prioritize corporate prayer, as you've probably all been to a quarterly prayer where we don't have a Sunday school hour, but instead as a church, we all pray together. So we really prioritize prayer. I would encourage you on Sunday mornings to fill out the card in your packet for prayer requests. Each of the elders and pastors are sent those cards, and we make it a priority to pray for those requests. Some of them are confidential. Some of them go to the whole church. We are also emailed a member list each week as elders. We each get about probably two dozen names of members at Newcastle who we pray for that week. And, you know, sometimes as I'm praying through the list, I'm trying to think, who are these people? I'm always a first service guy, so I don't sometimes know people in second service. But I'm always amazed how I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? I saw them on the prayer list a couple weeks ago. They were asking for prayer for their brother who's, you know, going through a health challenge or whatever. So we believe that the best expression of humble dependence is through prayer, and so we really prioritize it, and we believe it's our responsibility to pray for each other. So, questions on the four necessary means we see of glorifying God. Sometimes you will see a church that focuses on just one area, and they will pick one of these out and say, okay, we're going to make sure that we have great faith. We're going to, you know, there's oftentimes their faith is shown by, can they heal or can they speak in tongues or something. But if you get caught up in just one of these, you're going to fall short of glorifying God. So we try to keep all four of these in mind. And I think individually, as you guys pray and think through membership at Newcastle, it'd be good to just look at this and say, in what area is God calling me to grow in? I think all of us can look at this and say, man, I could use some growth in this area. And God's gracious enough to not say, well, Chad, you just need to grow in all of them. You just get to work. But he's not like that. He promises to not give us more than we can handle. And so we focus on one of those and pray about where God wants us to grow in, he'll be faithful to help us with that. So I think that it is 10:30 already, and hopefully that was helpful to you. If Kevin asks next week, please say it was helpful. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I'm really glad to have you here and pursuing this. I think the class will be very helpful and beneficial to you over the course of the next couple months. And if you have questions, feel free to ask them. There's no bad question during these classes. I mean, get the questions out. We're happy to be transparent and answer them to the best of our ability.
What is the the doctrinal soundness? Have you guys ever experienced anybody that starts to stray from that and starts loosely interpreting what the Bible is really teaching?
Yeah, we have. We've had members who have come to different views on doctrine, and sometimes it does mean that they end up desiring to go to another church that's more aligned with what they think. That certainly can happen, and we want to help them. I mean, hopefully it's not a tier one doctrine where, you know, the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, through grace alone. But if it's something where maybe they, Tyson talked about it today, maybe they don't see the earth being, you know, the age of the earth being the same as what we would see, or maybe they don't see the end times being the same as what we do, they might find that it's easier to go to another church that more aligns with them. So, yep, that certainly happens. Okay, great questions. I will close this in prayer, and then you guys can get on to the second service. Father, thanks for this time together today. Thanks for each of these individuals here today desiring to learn more about Newcastle, but ultimately more about you and what it means to follow Jesus. We just pray that as we go about, as we go out now and go through our week, that we would love you, that we would be willing to let our light shine before others. Give us courage, give us strength, help us to never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Help us to realize the impact of what the gospel can do in this sin-sick world. We just pray that you would watch over each of us this week. Bless Tyson as he preaches here in second service. We pray that seed could be planted and would fall on good soil and grow and bring forth a great crop. We just thank you most of all for the gift of salvation through Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.